Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. If you follow any of the news about brands, you're probably familiar with the different best brands lists out there. The most valuable, the biggest, the most popular. Each list lends a different perspective on the strength of brands. And so in this interview, I wanted to highlight one of the more well-known ones. Here to talk about the Corporate Branding Index, the CBI, is Jim Gregory, founder and CEO of Core Brand, a global brand strategy and communications firm. CBI has been using quantitative research and analysis to continuously track, since 1990, the reputations and financial performances of over 1,000 publicly traded companies across 54 industries. This year's top 100 brand power rankings were published recently, so it's a great time to talk with you, Jim. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Denise. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Great. Well, you know, there's so much great data and insights in your rankings. I could probably talk to you for hours, but I really wanted to, in this interview, focus on the topic of technology brands. Brands including Google, Yahoo, Apple, Samsung. You know, these have been near the top of your list these last few years. And so I kind of want to talk about tech brands as a whole and get your insights on how and why the sector has grown in your rankings. You know, it seems like at various times, different industries have probably peaked in your index. So I'm curious as to what you think might be driving the results that we've been seeing lately for technology brands.
Sure. Well, we track 54 different industries, and at any given point in time, one industry might be up or another one down. We have noticed that the technology industry has been improving in terms of overall brand rankings. And since most of those companies that you mentioned are near the top anyway in terms of familiarity, it's really the favorability scores that are really driving that change. Familiarity, when it's at the top, it's really hard to improve. But favorability, those numbers have been changing and generally moving up for the technology category.
Okay, well, let's dig into those two measurements a little bit further. Can you explain how you're measuring familiarity and how you're measuring favorability, and kind of explain and compare and contrast those two measurements relative to the technology brands?
Sure. We measure a business executive audience. We do 10,000 telephone surveys a year among this important audience, and we think that's a really good audience for the work that we do, because these folks really have opinions on corporate brands, and we actually do a telephone survey. We do it the old-fashioned way. We call them up, make sure we have them on the phone, and we ask them about their level of familiarity with the companies in our index, and then that's on a 5-point scale. And those who are familiar with the company, we then ask about three favorability attributes. We talk to them about the reputation of the company and its management and its investment potential. And from that, we roll that up into a favorability score. So we have two scores of familiarity and favorability, which we then combine into a brand power number.
And so, I'm sorry, can you talk a little bit more about those three favorability measures? I'm curious as to why those measures and what they reveal about the different brands that you're measuring.
Well, this work started a long time ago. It was actually a project that we did for GE to help Richard Costello, who was the chief marketing officer back in 1990, to explain to Jack Welch, this is what we're getting for our brand building efforts. In order to do that, to develop that model and that method of being able to explain it, we really had to understand how value is created. You know, the brand is an intangible asset, okay? And when you talk to financial people, like the CFO of the company, they don't understand that, that value is being created and retained by the company. In other words, you can't put the brand on the balance sheet mm-hmm. because it's an intangible asset and it's not done that way. So you can invest in a brand, and that that value that's being created is only seen by the CFO as being an expense, not as an investment, and it doesn't get translated into any value creation. Mm-hmm. So what we came up with was a way to be able to look at the company and to be able to create a surrogate number value for the company as that value went up, as the company invested in its brand, and as the value changed over time. And what we found is there was a very specific, it was a terrific dashboard measure into the health and vitality and the value of the company and how it was being valued over time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you said something like investment potential is one of the measurements that goes into favorability. Did I hear you say that correctly?
That's correct. It's there are three attributes, overall reputation, perception of management, and investment potential. And those three attributes really tell a story. I mean, usually overall reputation, people are more likely to rank a company higher, and they're going to be more critical when they look at the company's management, and they're even more critical when they think about investing in that company. So there's a normal hierarchy of these attributes. And the attributes over time tell a fantastic story about how well the company communicates, how positive the message is, how clear the message is, and or if there is a problem, how the industry or the company is hurt over time by what we call drag on the company. That's when the attributes spread out versus get closer and closer together over time. It's a fascinating look inside a company and also inside an industry.
Sure, sure. So let's talk about these technology brands, and can you talk about the movement that you've seen in, I guess, it probably more in favorability among brands like Google, Yahoo, Apple, Samsung? What are you seeing in terms of how these brands are growing or declining in favorability and overall brand power?
Right. Well, as I said, most of these brands are very well known. They're right at the very top of the companies that we track. So familiarity is quite high. And as I said, it's very hard to grow familiarity when you're at the top. If Microsoft, for example, was at 92.9 in 2008, and in 2012 it was 92.1. So it declined just a little bit, and yet still being able to maintain that very high level is a very important thing for them to do. Mm-hmm. Companies, as you go down the list, Samsung, for example, increased from 77.6 to 83.6, so have a significant increase in terms of familiarity around the company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the favorability scores are a different thing because there's a lot of room to grow favorability because people are a little more critical of a company once they're gauging its favorability, and that's where the real breakout came in technology. All of the companies you mentioned had improvements. Microsoft improved from 73 to 75. Apple went from 69 to 75.6. Google went from 60 to 70. And one of the things that we're looking at is not just the increase over time, but the velocity of that increase. Is it actually beating the competition? Are you actually outperforming the competition on those attributes? And that's what was so fascinating to me because, Google is a great company that has grown tremendously. Apple is a company that is well known and grown tremendously. and they both have very high scores. So you know, how are they going to compete? How are they going to who's going to win this brand war? Is a real interesting question.
Right. Well, and it's interesting to me, just you know, focusing on Apple for a moment, and you know, with one of your measures having to do with the management of the company, and obviously with the you know, shift from Steve Jobs, you know, with his passing away, it's interesting to kind of see that doesn't seem to have really affected the favorability ratings for that brand, and it continues to increase.
Yes, we've watched that very closely, there has been a lot of faith in that company. There's a lot of inherent brand strength in it, I think those who follow and believe in Apple have been very consistent about their perspective on the company, the other thing is that, you know, if it begins to falter, there will be some forgiveness. I mean, there's this, you know, that's one of the things that the brand is such a good thing to have. If you have a strong brand, there's a lot of forgiveness if there are problems. And I believe that it would take like two or three major stumbles before you begin to see any kind of cracks in the Apple brand.
Wow. Well, thank you, Jim, for sharing all these insights. I know we've only covered a fraction of the terrific information that's available in your report. So I want to let my listeners know that they can access your report as well as contact you through Core Brand's website. It's corebrand.com, one word. And your firm also has a great blog, and you can follow Core Brand on Twitter through its handle, Core Brand. Jim, thank you again for helping us understand the brand power behind the technology companies in the headlines today.
Thank you, Janice.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care, and thanks again.